The older I get, the more I appreciate ritual. And the older I get, and I'm not that old, but the older that I get, the more I understand looking back and seeing how my parents and my grandparents kind of behaved those special moments, whether it was birthdays or Christmas or Thanksgiving or New Year. I understand now what it meant to kind of look at them and kind of see their misty-eyedness, seeing them be kind of being emotional and sentimental and thinking, that's weird. Why are they being so weird? As you get older, these times, these moments, they become more and more special. You remember Thanksgivings from the past. You enter an age where you remember people who are not with you anymore at Thanksgiving. These times become special. Each year for the past 18 years, I've fried turkeys in my driveway the day before Thanksgiving. And it's one of my favorite days of the year. It's not just necessarily the danger that's involved with hot oil and things that are meant to be defrosted and have no ice in them. It's not just the amazing beauty of fried turkey. And fried turkey is one of God's greatest gifts. I mean, it's astounding. I don't put your turkeys in those. I'm not dissing, you know, those who do a great job in the oven. But fried turkey is a special gift from God. But it's not just that. It's the repetition. It's the ritual. It's a time to think back and to reflect. I remember turkey fries from the past. We get to sit and talk around the pot about life and what we are thankful for. It's a special time. Bluegrass Sunday is a special time here at Church of the Redeemer. We celebrate God's goodness to us. 21 years Church of the Redeemer has existed. And we celebrate His faithfulness to us corporately and also individually. And each year we do that now for the past 11 years, we read the same text. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8 or turn in your worship guide. This is the first Thanksgiving. This is the text that undergirds not just the North American practice of Thanksgiving and why it was birthed. This is why people knew to do what they did in those early Thanksgivings. This also undergirds the practice of Thanksgivings in Europe and other parts of the Christianized world. Where annually, I grew up in Scotland, we had not a Thanksgiving Sunday. We called it Harvest Sunday, where we celebrated and gave thanks and remembered what God has given us. We did that because of Deuteronomy 8, because of the Christian discipline of thanksgiving and remembering. So would you read with me Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 20. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. So this text is coming. This text is being given to the people of God as they're about to enter into the promised land. They have wandered in the wilderness. It's been difficult. And as they face the promised land, God gives them this exhortation to remember. And you shall remember, verse 2, you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart, as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full. And the Lord shall bless your, and the Lord, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your hearts be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Let the nations that the Lord makes to perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us in your word? And would you give us yourself? Lord, would you meet us as we sing, as we confess our thanksgiving? Lord, would you meet us now in your word? Lord, what we need is not just a beautiful worship service with nostalgic music. What we need is not just a warm feeling inside. What we need is you. So would you give us your very self? Would you meet us? Would you put your arms around us? Would you draw us close? Would you lift up our heads? And if necessary, Lord, would you bend our knees? Would you break our hearts? Or would you do whatever it is that is necessary that we might know you and that we might be known by you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Three brief things this morning about Thanksgiving. And we do this every year. The what, the who, and the why. The what, the who, and the why of Thanksgiving. The what of Thanksgiving. Here in Deuteronomy 8, we're given the biblical basis for giving thanks. And we're told what to be thankful for. And I love this. Go back with me to verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. What I love about Deuteronomy 8, and what I love about the biblical Christian understanding of Thanksgiving, is we give thanks for earthy things, for physical things. And we give thanks for bounty and even excess. This list here is very, very specific. God doesn't say to them, hey, I've given you a good land, it'll do. God doesn't say, hey, I've given you a place, it's going to be sufficient to meet your needs. What he does here is he lists off the beauty and the wonder of physical things. He doesn't just say, I've given you a land, it's got water. What does he say? Look, it's a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out into the valley and the hills. It's not just poetic or picturesque for the sake of being poetic or picturesque. It's this specific because we give thanks for these physical things. They're good. The land is good. It's a land, well, I love verse 9, a land in which we will eat bread without scarcity. Verse 10, and you shall eat and be full. Oh, we give thanks to God so often, and we see this in the Bible, through the sacrament of eating, through the blessing of food, through feasting. And God is saying, here there'll be bread without scarcity. You will eat and you will be full. You know that feeling of being full? Before you've gotten to the feeling of kind of gorging yourself, okay? If we're eating, slowing down a little bit. There's that feeling of being sated. And it's a good feeling. It's more than just biology. It's more than just energy and fuel. God says here, it's one of the things we give thanks for. We give thanks, it's worship. When we give thanks, it's what we give thanks for. And here we see that thanksgiving is not just an idea. Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, we give thanks not for concepts, not for ideas, not for a philosophy. Christianity is not a state of mind. It's a feast. It's a thing where we give thanks for tangible things, for bread, for honey, for streams, for olives, for figs. This is the earthy nature of Christianity, the tangible, soil-based, physical and real nature of Christianity. That's why when we do Thanksgiving, we have a feast. And we put all this food on our table. And we don't just kind of admire it and take pictures of it and Instagram it. We eat it. And we eat it together with people that we love. It's a sacramental moment. It's a real moment. We could just sit down around a table and list off, you know, 5 things we're thankful for. We could just list off and say, okay, let's do, what are you thankful for? Kind of, you know, do a ledger sheet. But we don't. We sit down and we do this tangible meal. Why? Why? Because of the earthy nature of Christianity. Because of the physical and the real nature of Christianity. It's not a philosophy. It's not an idea. It's an embodied life. So this week at Thanksgiving, at your dinner table, do take time. Kids, I know that you probably roll your eyes if your parents, your grandparents ask you, what are you thankful for? You don't want to talk about it. But bless them on this day. Think, take time to think about what you're thankful for, the things that you're thankful for, and share those. That's why we have these prayer cards. And on one side of them, that's what it says. I thank God and Creator. I am thankful to you for. And we're going to take time to thank God for the physical things. Really, that's good, dark, roasted coffee. Or good, good, high-quality, dark chocolate. We give thanks to God for these tangible things, and that's why we write them down. It's not silly. It's not sentimental. It's why we are thankful, and the Word of God guides us to be thankful for our things. And to do that in a very tangible way. And now we do something every year here at our Thanksgiving Bluegrass service where we kind of push the envelope, especially for Presbyterians. I'm going to give you the instructions. I'm going to tell you the instructions, and then we'll walk through it, okay? If you are sitting next to someone that you know, okay, someone that you love, okay, you might not be sitting to someone next to someone you know, okay? If you're not sitting next to someone you know, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes in a minute. But if you are sitting next to someone you know and that you love, and it's appropriate, and it's not going to freak them out, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to take their hand, okay? Not right now. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to take their hand. Don't take their hand right now because you're going to have a long moment of touching, and it might start to feel awkward. And when we get there, I'm going to ask you, if you're sitting next to someone you know, to turn and to look them in the eye, and to say to them, or to say actually to God, you're not saying this, you're saying this to them, but to God. God, I thank you for who you have given me. And then the person can say it back to you. If you're not here with a loved one, take time to close your eyes and to think of someone that God has given you that you're thankful for, and you can speak the words out loud to God about them. God, I thank you for who you've given me. And then call them afterwards. Don't shoot them a text message. Don't shoot them an email. Call them sometime this week and tell them, I give thanks to God for you this week. Okay, we ready? So if you're sitting next to someone that you know and it's not inappropriate, please take their hand. Look them in the eye and say to God, God, thank you for who you've given me. Amen. Amen. We got to do stuff like that. I mean, think about it. How busy are we? How fast are we moving? How much are we focused on fixing things, adjusting things, that we don't stop to do things like that? To look someone in the eye and to say to God, God, thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for who you've given me. That's the why of Thanksgiving, the what of Thanksgiving. Secondly, the who of Thanksgiving. Look with me at verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Take care, it says in verse 11 there. That's a warning. That's a strong word. You know, sometimes we say, hey, take care. It's not a blessing. It's a warning. In fact, it's the same word that Pharaoh says to Moses when he threatens his life. Pharaoh says to Moses, get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. For on that day you shall see my face. You shall die. So it's a warning that's here. God says, take care. Well, what do we have to take care for? Well, look at verse 11. Lest you forget the Lord your God. God is the who of Thanksgiving. God is the who of Thanksgiving. He is the one we give thanks to above all else. That's why there's so much remembering mentioned in this text. Also, there's forgetting that's mentioned. Look at verse 2. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years into the wilderness. A Thanksgiving is a deliberate time of remembering because as human beings, we have a proclivity to forget. Now, I growing up, my mom used to say of me in her thick Scottish accent, that boy, he'd forget his head if it wasn't sewn on. Scottish people are not known for their affirmations. They're known for their phrases like that. I grew up kind of with undiagnosed ADD, and my brain was a million places, and I would forget stuff. It would just go out of my mind. You know, I'd walk across the room, and I'd be kind of like, why did I come here again? And it was true. If I would forget my head if it wasn't sewn on. This forgetting that God is talking about here is not absent-mindedness. It's not absent-mindedness. It's not something where someone says, no, I remember. Yes, I forgot that. This remembering includes obeying. Did you catch that in verse 11? Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. By not keeping his commandments. Forgetting is about disobedience. It's about forgetting God's commandments. Look with me at verse 12. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. How could they forget the plagues? How could they forget the Exodus? How could they forget the parting of the Red Sea? They could forget because they would replace God with other things that they remembered more. Look at verse 17. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Forgetting is disobeying, and forgetting here is also replacing. God is saying, don't forget. And when he says don't forget, it's not like, you know, getting home and you forgot to pick up the dry cleaning, okay? You're like, oh man, I forget. You know, I forgot that. I remember I was meant to do it and I forget. This is about replacing. This is when you say, I'm not getting the dry cleaning. I'm going for ice cream instead. That's what this is talking about. Oh, when we forget to give thanks, it's because we have put our love, our trust, and our hope and our thanksgiving in something else. God says, don't forget to give thanks to Him for what He has given. You know, there are studies about this. What people say on their deathbed, deathbed regrets. And basically in all these studies, no one ever says on their deathbed, I wish I had worked longer. No one ever said on their deathbed, I regret not getting that promotion. No one ever says on their deathbed, I wish I'd kept the house tidier. No one ever says on their deathbed, my greatest regret is that we didn't have a bigger house with a fancier kitchen. On their deathbeds, people regret one major thing. And that is they forgot to love. They forgot to love. They regret relationships that they didn't invest in, or relationships that didn't get repaired. Oh, we know from studies that the single biggest factor connected to happiness is friendship, is relationship. They say that if you have less than 5 close friends, it increases your chance of being unhappy by 40%. If you have less than 5 close friends. That's because we are relational beings. And at the heart of Thanksgiving, the who at the heart of Thanksgiving is our most important relationship, and that is God. God is who has given us all these things. And so we discipline ourselves to give thanks to Him. Above all else, for our salvation in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ has made our forgiveness possible by His life and His death and His resurrection. And so we give thanks for Him. We give thanks for God for what He's done. On the other side of your card, it says God and Savior. And that's the place where we write down things about God that we are thankful for. Specific things, not just made up things. Maybe this year you're thankful to God for His patience. Or maybe God has shown you His holiness. Maybe you have found God to be your helper, but we thank God for who He is and for what He's done. That's why one of the things we want to grow in this year is being in His Word. It's in His Word that we find Him and that we remember Him, that we see Him. Otherwise, we'd forget. So the what of Thanksgiving, our first point, the earthly nature of Christianity. Secondly, we remember the who of Thanksgiving. God is the who of thanksgiving. And then lastly, why? Why do we do this again? Why are we thankful? Look with me at verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Why has He given us this power to get wealth? Why? Well, it tells us here that He might confirm His covenant. Why do we have all this stuff? God has given us this stuff that we might remember that He is good. He's given us the power to get wealth that we might remember that He is good. And the goal of the covenant is what? What is the goal of this covenant? Genesis 12 tells us, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God said to Abraham, God said to us, I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. Genesis 12. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The why of Thanksgiving is that we might bless other people. It's the great story about the pilgrims. In Squanto, on that first Thanksgiving, they say there were 90 Native Americans and 53 pilgrims. Those 53 people shared their bounty with a crowd. Thanksgiving is a time where we bless other people. Thanksgiving is a time where we remember that God has given us this stuff, that we can do good, that we can bless other people, that we can remember and in it see that He is good. That's why God has given us all this stuff, that we might be thankful to Him and be reminded that He is good. That's why we have this stuff. This stuff cannot make us happy in and of itself. Because there's a new iPhone coming out. There's a better car coming out. There's going to be some new fancy kitchen surface coming out soon. I mean, it was granite. It was slate. It was marble. There's something new coming that we're going to have in our kitchens. And God gives us this stuff. He tells us that we might find Him. That we might find Him and know and see that He is good. The stuff we have, the relationships we have, the friendships that we have, the family that we have, they can't make us happy in and of ourselves. And if we look to them too much, we break them. But when we look to them and see God and remember that God is good, that God has given this stuff, He has given us this stuff, when we look to the stuff and see that God has given us all that we have, that we might be a blessing. It changes everything. And that's the beauty of Thanksgiving. I'm going to show a couple of brief pictures and then a brief video just to tie this all together. After we do this, I'm going to say a very brief prayer. And then we're going to enter into our time of writing on our cards. If you don't have a card or a pencil, just stick up your hand and say, we'll find you. And then we're going to collect those during the song Amazing Grace, okay? These are things that I'm thankful for this year, but it's not just for me. Let's do the first picture. These are pictures of our after-school tutoring program. And these are some of the kids that we work with. And I'm thankful for these kids. I'm thankful for this opportunity. I'm thankful for this church that's invested in serving. We tutor about 80 middle school kids twice a week and about 80 elementary school kids twice a week. And it's beautiful. And I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful that my son, well, like many of our children here, many of our youth, gets to come and serve and be discipled in serving as a way of life. And so I'm thankful for that. This next picture here is Jesus. Jesus has had to work through a lot of tough stuff in his life. And this place and our tutors have brought tremendous healing into his life. Tremendous healing into his life. And it's beautiful. I'm thankful for these two boys here. That's Christian and Cesar. Sometimes I have to work to be thankful for those two boys because they're a handful. But I love that they're a handful and I love that they're here. The real reason I wanted to put these things up here is this next video. Let me say something about it before we get there. This ties it all together. This is the first time we let our children, and we let out some first graders. This is the second graders. We let our second graders, and they were the first to get to do this, into our courtyard downstairs, our remodeled courtyard. They'd been looking at it. They'd been seeing it. For all the weeks they wanted to kind of get out there, and it wasn't ready. The signs were there, no entry. And finally, we let our second graders out. And this is Thanksgiving. I want you to look at what they're doing. Look at the physical nature of their joy. I mean, they run around outside. They run around in their commons. But when they went outside, it was different. And I want you to get a picture of Thanksgiving joy. It's physical. It's earthy. It's spiritual. And it's beautiful. Thanks, Andy. They went outside and did cartwheels. They ran around. They rolled in the fake grass. And they sat there and just kind of touching it. And this is Thanksgiving. God has been good. And we're going to take some time now to do a brief confession of Thanksgiving that we're going to read together. And we're going to read this, and then we're going to enter into the silence, okay? The time to write down. So read responsively with me. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen.